Psalm 108 before Simeon comes and preaches from it and then leads us. So he's going to lead us in a time of prayer as we kick off the week of prayer. So let's just come before God with an attitude of prayer and dependence on him. I think as I was thinking about it, you know, it stirred in my heart that, you know, we quite often, well, some of us, when we have troubles and challenges in life, we do all sorts of things before we finally come to God in prayer. And really, what God would want us to do is just, that's the first thing we do. We come because He is the answer to all our challenges and difficulties, and His promises hold throughout all generations. But I'll read from Psalm 108. If you have the Bible, I'm reading from NIV. It says, a psalm of David. My heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I'll praise you, Lord, amongst the nations. I will sing of you amongst the people. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. God has spoken from his sanctuary. In triumph, I will parcel out Shechem and measure off the valley of Sukkos. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah is my scepter, Moab is my washbasin, on Edom I toss my sandal, over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, God, you who have rejected us and no longer go out with our armies? Give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless. With God, we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies.
Amen. Hello. If we've not met, I'm Simeon. Nice to see you. I'm one of the elders of the church here, and it's great to have you with us. First-timers and millionth-timers. And we are starting a new teaching series today called Psalms to Help Us Pray. And the Psalms are a collection of songs in the Old Testament of the Bible, and many of those songs are prayers. And over the course of this term, we're going to look at 10 of the prayer Psalms. And if you want to know which ones are coming up, grab one of the term cards off the shelves over there, and you can see which ones you can read ahead. If you want to follow up and think more and use these Psalms to help you pray outside of a Sunday, then if you go on the church website and in the resources section under Citigroup resources or Citigroup notes, there's some questions and activities and things you can do to help you get into these Psalms, yes, in your Citigroups, but also in your devotional times at home or with a friend down the pub or over coffee or whatever. So that resources are there on the church website for anyone to use, including in your Citigroups, if that's what you're doing. Why are we looking at 10 Psalms to help us pray this term? Well, I would firstly love it to encourage us to pray more. If you feel like prayer could feature more in your life, then I'm hoping that these Psalms will stir you and encourage you to pray more. Secondly, I'd love to have them help us pray more confidently, that we know what to pray and know how to pray, and we're more confident in our praying. And thirdly, that our prayers will be more lined up with God's will, with how he wants us to pray. So the idea is we'll look at these Psalms and we'll see how these prayers work and what's going on in these prayers, and let them shape and influence the praying that we do so that our praying becomes more and more like the examples God's given us in the Bible. Does that make sense? So the main preaching team this term, collaborating week by week on these, is me and Sam and Kate and Kit. Alex is going to join us for a week as well. We will try to do shorter sermons and not delve into sort of every theological nut and bolt of the passage. Not that you can ever do that anyway. But really what we're going to try and do is kind of take us to these Psalms and say, look at the Psalm, look at what's going on now. Let's pray like this. That's the series in a nutshell. Let's pray like this. And this evening, we are going to spend extra time praying like this because it's the start of our week of prayer. We'll try and do it every week after we've looked at the psalm. We'll pray in response. But this week, we're going to spend extra time praying in response to kick off our week of prayer. So that's where we're going to go. We're going to start by looking at Psalm 108. And I want to show us four things that this psalm helps us with our praying. And so whether you've never prayed before in your life or whether you've been praying since you could string two words together, I think this psalm will stir us and encourage us and help us in our praying. So let's have a look at it, shall we? We're going to start at the beginning. And the first of these four things is that this psalm praises God eagerly. Praises God eagerly. My heart is confident, God. I will sing. I will sing praises with the whole of my being. You notice how many times in these first few lines they say, I will. I will. I will wake up the dawn. They don't feel like, they don't wait until they feel like praying. The psalmist is stirring themselves to pray and say, come on, I'm going to do this. I will. And this psalm was written before alarm clocks were invented. And the reason I mention that is that the psalmist says, I will wake up the dawn. Because normally, before alarm clocks were invented, the dawn would wake you up. The sun comes up and that's what wakes you up. But the psalmist says, no, I'm going to turn that on its head. I'm not going to let the dawn wake me up. I'm going to wake the dawn up. I'm so eager to get up and praise God. I want the new day to begin. I can't wait till it's the next day so that I can praise God. There's this real eagerness. I'll wake up the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, amongst the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your faithful love is higher than the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. And if this psalmist had good reason to be eager and on the front foot to praise God because they'd seen God's faithful love reaching higher than the heavens, we have even more reason. Living this side of Easter, we've seen that God's faithful love doesn't just reach the heavens, it reaches down to the cross. We've seen God's faithful love incarnate in Jesus Christ. So if they had reason to praise, we have even more reason to praise. So praise God eagerly. That's where this psalm starts. And the next thing I want to look at is down in verse 7. The psalmist in verse 7 kind of stops praying and starts talking about something that God has said. They say, God has spoken in his sanctuary. God has spoken. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, and Ephraim is my helmet, Judah is my scepter. What's going on? Why is the psalmist stopped praying and started talking about this thing that God said? Ephraim and Judah are names for God's people. The psalmist is talking about the fact that God has said that these people are his. The psalmist is remembering that God has said, you're mine. And I think that's going to give them confidence to come and make their requests to God. To say, well, God, I'm not just coming up with some random idea. You've said, God, that I'm yours, that we're your people. And so because you've said that, I want to bring my requests to you. And so I want us to be people who pray by professing God's word. We bring what God said and we bring it back to him. And we say, God, you said this. I'm not just making this prayer up off the top of my head. I'm praying what you said. We're not just asking God to kind of do us a favor and do something that's a bit out of character, but it would really help us out. Oh, God, I know you don't normally do this, but could you just make an exception? We really want you to help us with this thing. No, we're coming to God and saying, God, you say this is what you're like. You say this is what you're going to do. So we're going to pray that back to you. Remind God, if you like, not that he will forget, but remind God, this is what you've said. We want you to act in line with what you've said. Does that make sense? So we bring God's word back to him. 1 John 5 says that what gives us confidence in prayer is praying in accordance with God's will. And if we're praying back to God what God has said, then we know we're praying the things that he wants to do. If God said he's going to do that, well, then let's pray that we see it. And we know we're on the right lines when we do that. And later on, we are going to have a chance to pray scripture over us as a church. And I'd love you to have your antennae up, your prophetic antennae, if you have that gift, or just be aware of what scriptures God might be dropping into your head over the next few minutes. And we'll have some of those, we'll hear some of those read later and sort of prayed over us as a church. So just a bit of advance warning about that. So we want to be those who praise God eagerly. We want to be those who profess God's word. God has spoken, so that's what we're going to pray. And that's all very well. But for this psalmist, it doesn't look like God's actions have matched what he said. Because down in verse 11, it says, God, haven't you rejected us? God, you do not march out with our armies. Give us aid against the foe. And we can only guess what situation the psalmist is in that's making them pray this. There were times in the Old Testament where God's people turned their back on God and said, we're going to do our own thing. And as a result, God let their enemies get the upper hand. And he didn't march out with their armies. He left them to their fate, as it were. And it could be one of those scenarios that's going on. I wonder, though, whether it might be that God hadn't abandoned them. They hadn't turned their back on him. But it kind of felt like it in that moment. They were in a tight spot. And God's intervention and God's help was actually just around the corner. He hadn't abandoned them at all. But that's what they were feeling and experiencing at the time. We don't know. But either way, this is really quite remarkable, I think. Because we've got down to verse 11, and we've discovered that the psalmist doesn't think God is with them. They feel like God's rejected them and abandoned them, but they're still asking God for help. Isn't that amazing? They don't feel like he's there. They don't feel like he cares. But they're saying, hang on, God said, and I'm going to ask for help. Just like verse 11 and verse 12 next to each other. Verse 11, you're not there, you're not helping. Verse 12, give us help. What an amazing combination. And how amazing it is to actually then think back to where the psalm started with that eager praise of God, that we now discover that they're not actually in a jolly, happy place at all. They're in a really difficult and dark place. And yet they were still waking up the dawn and saying, come on, God, I want to praise you because you're good. It's amazing. So this psalmist is not only praising God eagerly and professing God's word, they're persevering through God's silence. And I don't know what sort of situations we're all in, but however dark your situation, you can always pray. However dark your situation, you should always pray. You know, whether you're going through a time in your life when you have walked away from God and turned your back on him and filled your life with sin and basically said, God, I'm not interested, you can pray. You can come back to God in prayer. If you haven't done that, if you feel like you've tried to walk faithfully with God, but it feels like he's just walked off and abandoned you, you can pray. You should pray. Just like this psalmist. You know, remember the story Jesus told about the guy who got up in the middle of the night and banged on his neighbor's door with shameless audacity after bedtime and got what he wanted because he said, bang, 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 bang. You know, when we feel like God's not answering, we can do that. Bang, 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 bang. It's in the Bible. You might be sort of working through all sorts of doubts and questions about your faith, and yet you're like, I want to follow God, I've just got all these questions. That's certainly been me plenty of times. Well, you can pray if you're in that situation. You don't have to wait until you've got enough faith to be allowed to pray. You can express faith by praying. Praying is faith, isn't it? When you come to God and say, God, help, that is an act of faith. Or maybe you are just so weighed down by sickness or by grief that you're not even sure you can string two thoughts together and you don't know what category you're in. You just know it hurts. Well, you can pray. You should pray. You know, if this psalmist can pray a bit of a messy, inconsistent prayer, then you can pray a messy, inconsistent prayer and just bring it to God, whatever it looks like. We persevere in God's silence when it's tough. I wonder if there's someone here who specifically feels like it's like you've said to yourself this week, I'm walking with a limp, not a literal limp, but I just not firing on all cylinders. In fact, you sort of said to yourself, I don't know, every other step is painful. I don't know how much further I can go. God wants to say to you, persevere. Bring it to me in prayer and see my answer come through. So we persevere. And the other thing I wanted to show us from this psalm, other than praising God eagerly, professing God's word and persevering through God's silence, is prizing God's help. So verse 12, give us aid against the foe, for human help is worthless. Human help is worthless. This psalmist is kind of saying, I must have God or else. I've got no other options. Did you notice how this is like the opposite of looking inside yourself to find what you need, or looking inside yourself to find the strength or to find the answers? This is saying, human help, including my own, is worthless. I need God. And that's a kind of a confusing thing when you stop and think about it. Because you think about your life, a lot of the help that God provides for you comes through humans, doesn't it? So how's that work? If a lot of the help that God provides comes through humans, but we're saying human help is worthless, I've got to have God's help. How do we get our heads around that? Maybe an analogy would help. Imagine that you like chocolate, and maybe you don't have to imagine. Imagine that you like chocolate, and a new chocolate shop opens in your neighborhood. And you go to check out the chocolate shop, and you bring home a bar of chocolate, and you put it down on the table. There is good news now in your house, isn't there? Good news, that chocolate is on the table. But that's not really the main good news. The main good news is that the chocolate shop is there. The source. Yes, the chocolate bar on the table is good, but what's even better is the place it came from. And everything we enjoy, every help that comes to us through each other and through other people in our lives, is like the chocolate bar on the table. It's good, but what's really good is where it came from. Every good thing comes from God. It's God who put that person in your life. It's God who gave them what they needed to help you. It's God who gave you the opportunity to reach out and get it from them. Everything, every ability, every opportunity, every circumstance, it's from Him. So even if it comes through other people, we recognize that ultimately it comes from Him. Now, what difference does that make? I mean, are you just sort of jumping through theological hoops here? Well, I think it does make a difference. Because it makes us prayerful, right? If we're recognizing that actually everything, all the help I get from wherever it comes from is actually ultimately from God, the source of all good things, all the good help I get comes from Him. I'm going to ask Him for it. I'm going to talk to Him about it. I'm not just going to assume that it's going to come. I'm going to talk to the source. You see, God loves to release help to us in response to prayer. He wants us to get that chocolate bar by going down to the shop and meeting the shopkeeper face to face and buying it in person. He doesn't want us to set up a monthly subscription on Amazon so that it drops through our letterbox automatically. We don't sort of become a Christian and say, okay, God, I'm a Christian now. I guess I'm going to need some of your help. Please, could you just deliver it every month through my letterbox? See you in eternity. No, God wants us to have that face-to-face interaction with him where we go and buy it in person. We come to God and say, God, I need your help. Please give it to me. He wants to release help to us in response to our prayer. So we've got to pray these prayers that say to God, you're our only hope. You've got to help. And if we're Christians, that kind of prayer should come very naturally to us. Because the kind of prayer that says, God, you're my only hope, you've got to help, is how we respond to the gospel. We wouldn't be Christians if we hadn't prayed something like that in the past. If we hadn't said that to God in the waters of baptism and said, you are my only hope. The psalmist here wrote Psalm 108, they're facing enemies. Well, so are we. The enemy of sin, a power too strong for us. We need God's help to triumph over that enemy. But he has helped. The Bible says he has condemned sin in the flesh of Jesus on the cross. Sin is dealt with because God has come to our help. So give us aid against the foe, for human help is worthless, is a great gospel verse. If you've never come to God with a response like that, you can do that today. You can come to God and say, God, I need your help. I need your help. I cannot defeat the enemies in my life, the spiritual enemies, I mean, of sin and death. Help me. And he will, because he's won that battle in Jesus. So what we're going to do today is we're going to try to put these four things into practice. And we're going to start by praising God.